The reading is from Luke chapter 1, starting to read from verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
What a reading to have in August. Sue had to double check with me that we really had got the right passage and that she had prepared to read the right words today. Here we go. Yeah, verse 26, 27. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. He was of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Some of us are thinking, well, I love this story. It is fantastic. But seriously, August, get real. It might have felt a little bit strange or weird to you today. Others may well be thinking of me as I'm going about to preach on it now. You poor man. Angel meets virgin, tells her she's going to have a baby, that baby's going to be the Son of God. Well, I mean, that's hard enough to preach at Christmas time. But at least at Christmas time, it's dark and moody and mysterious and magical and all sorts of lights. And there, people are willing to believe anything. It'll give them more hope that there might be something better than all the darkness of winter. To start talking about this in the long days of August, seriously, you ain't got a hope. Well, there we are. It's a little bit how actually I felt earlier this week as to the reaction that I might get today in preaching on such a passage. The Bible says this of itself, Psalm 119, 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And that is our prayer as we come to this part of the Bible today, that it would lighten up our hearts, that it would give a lamp to our paths, so that we know how to walk before the Lord and that we know how to walk with the Lord as well. Wherever you are in your spiritual walk at the moment, may today's reading strengthen you and help you to walk with the Lord more closely. Our summer Bible talk series is about the angel of the Lord. So if you're a guest amongst us today, this is the reason why we've had Gabriel and Mary and the Son of God today. We are having a summer Bible talk series on the angel of the Lord, but today there is a twist. There is a turn. It is different. Mary's encounter with the angel is very similar to what we've heard in our series so far of people like Hagar way back in Genesis and Abraham and Samson's mother that we heard about last week. The Lord God met these normal people in a very real very personal and very human way as an angel, but actually as the Lord himself, as this angel of the Lord who appears a number of times throughout the Old Testament part of our Bibles. And if you look at verse 11, just a little bit, hopefully you'll keep your Bible open. If you've got a Bible or if you've got an electronic device, keep Luke chapter open in front of you. If you look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 11, you will see that this angel is called, when he appeared to John the Baptist's father, as an angel of the Lord. That same similar title. But he's very, very different to the angel of the Lord that we were hearing about last week, who appeared to Manoah. Although there are some tantalizing similarities, you could almost say, well, on the face of it, this looks like the same angel rocking up to another mother. Two mums, Elizabeth and then Mary. There's a striking difference, though. As we're hearing about last week, Manoah, or Mrs. Manoah, is what we kind of like called her because we're not even given her name. God is interested in people that the world doesn't know. He knows our names, and he's very interested in us. We're thinking about that with Mrs. Manoah last week. But there's a tantalizing difference. See, Manoah asks that angel to tell him his name. And the angel says, no, why should I do that? And gives a tantalizing, mysterious God kind of a response. It is too wonderful, is kind of what he says. But this angel, well, if I can put it this way, there's no mystery about this angel. He's really quite happy to say who he is. His name's Gabriel. And this is why he's come. And we see that in verse 19. He tells John the Baptist's father, Zechariah. The angel answered him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. So this was an angel of the Lord, but it is not the angel of the Lord. It's not the Lord God himself appearing. The big difference is this. This angel was sent by the Lord with a message that this time, the Lord God, his very self, is coming and will be born as a baby and will grow to be a man. We are talking about the incarnation, God becoming a man in the Son of God himself. Verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. That is the big difference between all the other things that have gone so far. This angel appears as to say, well, he's not coming as the angel of the Lord this time. He's actually coming in person, born as a baby. Coming up on the screen is a summary of this Bible passage and what I think it means for us today. We got a summary sentence there. When God came, it was ordinary and supernatural and majestically merciful. I think that's what we're hearing about in this part of Luke's gospel today. And we're going to just go through that phrase, that sentence, phrase by phrase, okay? First, when God came, it was ordinary. When God came, it was ordinary. Let's be honest. An angel named Gabriel, a virgin named Mary, and the Son of God named Jesus sounds legendary and mythical and all very unbelievable. But we cannot avoid the fact that it is all written in a very, very ordinary way. The angel of the Lord, the Virgin, and the Son of God, if you look at verses 1 to 4, in the way that Luke begins his gospel, this book of his, the angel, the Virgin, and the Son of God are placed in reality. Careful research was done, eyewitness testimonies taken, accuracy was tested, and everything was in good order. The angel, the Virgin, the Son of God were placed in time. We can verify the date. Verse 26 says it happened in the sixth month of Mary's cousin Elizabeth's pregnancy when, if you look back at verse 5, Herod was king of Judea. Set in time, in reality, the angel, the virgin, and the Son of God are placed in geography. Verse 26, Nazareth, a very ordinary town that you can still visit today. The angel of the Lord, the virgin, and the Son of God, I'm sorry, I'm sounding repetitive here, appeared and was placed in a family. Real people in relationship with one another. Mary, engaged to Joseph, and a cousin called Elizabeth, who was married to a fellow called Zechariah, who worked at the temple in Jerusalem. Check it out, is what's being said here. This reads just how we'd expect it to read if the Lord God stepped into the world, because the world is ordinary. The world is a place of reality, a place of research and witnesses and times and places and people and families and work. It all underlines what we've seen and again in this Angel of the Lord series. The God of the universe is, if I can put it this way, spectacularly interested in and caring for this ordinary world and the ordinary people who live in this world. It all matters to him. You matter to him, no matter how ordinary you think or feel you are. This Lord God is still coming into people's lives today. We've prayed today that he would come into Lavinia's life. And we had Amber and Michael standing before us testifying that that was their heart and their prayer. And we know Michael and Amber and their stories of how the Lord came into their lives is strikingly different and wonderful. He came into their lives by his Holy Spirit, making Jesus, the risen Jesus, real to them, so that they believed Jesus died for their sin and they were saved from their sin and forgiven. And we pray that the Lord God himself would come into Lavinia's life as well. And we've heard Nikki and Tim testify again and come before us with Joshy and Benji. I can't help going back in my mind to that moment when we prayed for Tim and Nikki and commissioned them. We were meeting in another place. We spent 40 years as a nomadic church going from place to place. We were in another place on the other side of the city, and we prayed for them, and I remember them saying just how they knew how difficult it was going to be. And yet you are still there, serving the Lord. Yeah, not easy, it's tough, but you know the Lord is with you. And you've testified to that again today. The Lord is in their lives. He is coming into people's lives today. He cares for you, no matter how ordinary you feel you are. The summary sentence: when God came, it was ordinary and supernatural. It was real, but humanly it was impossible. So impossible that it had to be supernatural as well, if it was going to happen. Mary was the first person to ask the obvious question. Please, if you're not yet a believer in the Bible and trusting the Bible to be the very word of God in wonderful purity and glorious accuracy, all right? Get this. You are not the first person to think that Mary, a virgin mother, is a load of rubbish, or to question that. Mary got there well before you. What, you think she didn't know biology? Of course she did. She was the first person to ask, how can this be? I'm a virgin. And of course she would ask that. This makes sense. This is reality of what is going on here. There in verse 34, Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? And Gabriel's reply is unusual, yes, but that doesn't mean it's unbelievable. Unusual does not equal unbelievable. Unusual means, hey, hang on, ask what's going on, find out more. You know, being judgmental And being prejudiced is to say unusual means, oh, forget it. That's just being prejudiced. Be open-minded. Consider it. It is unusual, but it is not unbelievable, because we're talking about the living God here. Verse 35, the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." And verse 37, it is impossible, but not for God. Verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. He would do it. He did do it. So at this moment when God entered the world, there is an echo of the moment when God made the world. And it's there about the Holy Spirit. Genesis 1 verse 2, I think it's coming up on the screen, says this: "The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters," just as God was beginning that wonderful work of creation. And now, just as then, the Holy Spirit hovers and overshadows Mary. We're not given the biology of the event. We are simply told this: just as the Lord of life, who created the entire universe by his supernatural power, hovered over the face of the waters, so now that same God of great and awesome and endless power and wisdom hovers over Mary to bring life to her, the virgin, and to come into the world himself as the Son of God. If God came into the world, we would expect it to be a mixture of the ordinary and familiar, the world, and we would expect that to be mixed very much with the supernatural, the miraculous, because God is coming in to the world he created. And this rings true. So it was. Mary is unique. What God did for her and through her was a one-off, and it is unrepeatable miracle of the incarnation, when God became a man. But Mary is also the ultimate and supreme example of what happens when God works by his grace in and through any ordinary person. When God's power comes on a person from outside, as with Mary, the Most High will overshadow you, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit works within someone, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, as what the angel says to Gabriel, it results in things happening. It results in transformation occurring and lives being lived that would otherwise be impossible and unthinkable. You know, if you are a real doubter, and if you are cynical about the Christian faith, you might be cynical about Mary. I dare you to just look around the room. There isn't one person in this room who is a Christian that hasn't become a Christian by the very miraculous power of God. And we can prove that to you by simply saying to you, you choose to become a Christian right now. And you won't be able to. Even if we were to say, look, become a Christian, and after 5 minutes, you can stop. You won't be able to do it. It's only a miracle of God. And right around the room is multiple miracles where God has come into people's lives by the power, real presence of his Holy Spirit, bringing transformation, bringing change, in all sorts of absolutely wonderful ways. And he's still working in the lives and the hearts of people around you for his good will and his great purposes. And here's the thing about preaching this passage in August and not at Christmas time. Preaching it now helps us to remember that Luke wrote two books, not one. He wrote the book of Acts as well as the book of Luke. And there are similarities between the way he begins Luke and the way that he begins his second book, Acts. Luke begins by telling us in chapter 1 that God by his Holy Spirit would come on a woman called Mary. And he begins his second book, the book of Acts, by telling us that the Holy Spirit came on everybody. You're young, you're old, men, women, the powerful, the not so powerful, servants and those that would have servants, daughters young and old, male and female. So the great exhibition or illustration of these things, of things happening and transformation happening as God comes into people's lives by the Holy Spirit. The great example that Luke gives, Mary in Luke chapter 1, and then in Acts chapter 2, it is men and women and boys and girls, and particularly the men. These men had cowered in hiding. They'd been frightened for their lives. They'd fled and disowned Jesus. And when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they became public, open, and courageous preachers of the gospel of Jesus before the very same people who'd crucified Jesus. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit comes into someone's life. He flips it right round, transforms it, and changes it. So has God come into your life? Not yet. I want to personally encourage you today. If Jesus is not yet in your life, today, to repent of all your sins, to turn to Jesus in genuine prayer, and to mean it, and to say, Lord Jesus, today I trust your death on the cross to have been for me, for my sin. And through you and what you did, I'm forgiven. Oh, please, Lord Jesus, today, pour out your Holy Spirit into my life. Come and live in me by your Holy Spirit. Change me. I'm fed up with being the old me. I want to be the new me that I know I can be, but only in you, in your power and in your presence. Won't you do that today? And the Lord will not withhold from answering that prayer. He will come into your life and give you fresh hope. He will take those things that you are aware of and know deep guilt and shame over, and you will know forgiveness and freedom. And if you are isolated and lonely, you will know a new belonging to him and to his family. And you might feel also ordinary, but you will know the miraculous and the supernatural in your life. You will find joy in a cynical world. You will find hope where your life has been broken. I especially want to say to our brothers and sisters from Iran and from Afghanistan, it is so good to welcome you over this past 18 months to our church family. And the stories we hear are stories of brokenness and sadness and loss. And even today, to have prayed for Ali, so far away from your wife and your two small daughters. But you bring with you dignity. Those of you who know Christ come broken, but you are remarkably dignified. And that is only the work of the Lord that we witness in your lives. We praise God for what he's done in you. And may the Lord carry on working in all of our hearts to turn us around to being selfless and generous people in this selfish world in which we live. When God came, it was ordinary, and it was supernatural, and it was majestically merciful. Gabriel, the angel of the Lord, said 5 specific things about Mary's son. Here they are, I'll run through them quite quickly. He will be great, verse 32. That is, great like the Great Barrier Reef, or a great white shark. If you were to come face to face with it, you would find that very awesome. The Great Wall of China, the Great Rift Valley. These things are utterly jaw-dropping, overwhelming, awe-inspiring. Get to know Jesus, and you will be awe-inspired by him. You won't be able to think of him other than great. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. That's a special title. And it basically says that he will have, and he does have, supreme authority over absolutely everything. He has God's authority over all the world, the nations, pandemics, the refugee crises that are going on around the world. Everyone will one day be called to give an account to him, because he is the Son of the Most High. We are answerable to him for the way that we conduct our relationships and do our work and spend our time and our money and live our private lives. And he remains supreme and overall when we face trouble and we're feeling hopelessness in our hearts. We can still trust him. He is the Son of the Most High. Thirdly, of his kingdom there will be no end. He will rule in his greatness, in his supreme power today, tomorrow, and forever. There will be no elections to replace him, no new president or prime minister or king of the universe. The very idea of succession planning is stupid when it comes to Jesus. It's a nonsense. He will always be on his throne. There are no successors. Number four, the child to be born will be called holy. He's utterly pure, no defects, no blemishes. He is the flawless king who will only ever rule in perfect justice and mercy and kindness and goodness. And we then pray, like the end of the Bible prays, come, Lord Jesus, bring about the perfection of your kingdom. Because right now, we long for that and we hope for that. Well, the question, do you know him? One of the reasons I suspect that the story of the angel Gabriel, the Virgin Mother Mary, and the Son of God Jesus is written off as myth and legend is because, and I think this is true, it's not about truth, it's not about fact, it's moral. And I dare you in your heart to say it isn't. I think we like to write this off because if it's true, he's got to be in charge. And we don't like the sound of that. I think bottom line, that's it. We can talk about science. We can talk about a shed over other things till we're blue in the face. But I still won't convince you of Jesus until you say, I'm not God. He is. That's why we like to write it off. That's, I think, probably why we like to keep it at Christmas, not in August. Because in August it might just be real. Well, it's really Christmas as well. He is holy and great and unending, the Son of the Most High God, who claims your and my absolute and total allegiance. Think about it, ponder it, own it, believe. But before you do, one more thing about him, his name. His name. This is the clincher. This will help you as you make that decision. You shall call his name Jesus, verse 31, which means God saves. All of Jesus' greatness, his supreme authority, his total power and glorious holiness would be and was given in the service of saving people's lives, saving people from the consequence of not giving the Lord God our rightful allegiance. Jesus is the servant king that Amber led us to sing earlier on in our service today. He is the suffering Lord. The main reason that God became a baby and grew to be a man was to suffer and to die on the cross. That's why he's called Jesus. The Lord Jesus is magnificently merciful to you and to me. That summary sentence, when God came, it was ordinary and supernatural, and it brought about majestic mercy, of which you and I are the humble recipients. Do you know him? Mary must have experienced deep and real fear. A virgin mother? We laugh at that now. People were going to laugh in Nazareth and in amongst her family and friends. Unbelievable. Deep shame in her community, for her family, for her fiancé Joseph. She asked questions, got some answers, But boys, did she have a whole load of unknowns. A massive amount of unknowns. A life to live. Which would mean what? Well, later on we find that a sword was going to pierce her own heart. And it did. I hear what Tim said earlier on about Gemetavolus, the darkness of the lies in which we live. The Lord does come. And he does lead us forward. And Mary trusted God for all the things she did not know. And yes, she's unique. We are not like her. But we are in this. We are in this. She responds with words that are a model for our personal response to the Lord God today and every day. We have them there in the Bible in verse 38. And they have words for us to say and express and pray. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. He's God Most High. He is holy. He rules. He will never end ruling. I'm his servant. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Spend a moment quiet, shall we? Let's pray in silence and quietness. Maybe you want to invite the Lord God into your life for the very first time. Invite his Holy Spirit to bring the truth of the gospel to your heart for the first time. You might want to pray for a renewal and a new filling of the Holy Spirit. You may simply want to pray verse 38 like Mary did. A moment of quiet. God, Father, thank you that in the silence you have heard every single prayer that we've just prayed. We trust you to answer it in your great mercy and kindness and goodness. Lead every single one of us to think of ourselves as your servants and to follow in the ways of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.